Hey, good Monday morning. It is time now for the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute, and your hosts are WK and Ken Boyce. Good morning, guys. Good to see you.
Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, I tell you, on the pathway of life, we take some very interesting journeys, and it sounds like the guests you had on before are going to have a very interesting journey. I was telling WK as we came in, 4,000-mile trek across bike, we may need to give him our business card on the way out. he may need it when he gets back. We'll see. But good morning, everyone. This is Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Counseling for individuals, couples, and families all across Southwest Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma, and even some of the other surrounding areas. If you'd like to join us in studio this morning, phone number is 862-9977, 1-800-375-0056, or star 56 on your Alltel cellular phone. Good morning, WK.
And good morning. And good morning to everyone who's listening to us. We're so glad that you've tuned in to us to listen. We know that there are people who are listening to us and building a fan base out here, not only in the local area here, but also across the state, across the nation, and even in some foreign countries we're hearing. So
we added Israel last night.
Yes, we did. I saw that this morning.
Yeah. That now makes at least 36 different countries. Of course, the European Union is a combined effort, so I'm not sure how many are sitting there. But included with that, then that's 36 that we have there. Do want to say hello to everyone in St. Louis as well. Amy and her crew, got to mention them the first time on the air last week. So I hope you're still enjoying the show.
Good morning, yes.
Be sure to tell a friend. Tune in. There's some interesting things we're going to be bringing up this morning.
Yeah, you know, every Thursday evening, we're at Churchill's on East Republic Road. And we introduced last week, last Thursday night, the Secrets of the Creation Matrix.
Oh, I've been excited, waiting, just chomping at the bit for this one.
We got off to a good start. We had several people there. Some who had heard us on the radio. Others who had invited their friends. We just had a big, broad stroke, kind of an introductory last week. This week, we're beginning to get down into some details about what the Creation Matrix is. That this is a matrix, this is a template that you can lay over any part of your life and know where you are. Know, again, what authority or responsibilities, what the boundaries are, the strength of relationship that you have or that you need to have in any area of your life. And so it's fascinating. And people who have heard this, that have taken this and put it into their own life, to work in their own life, have found it very, very useful.
So please feel free to come and join us for Coffee with WK at Churchill's at 1604 East Republic Road. This is about a block east of Fremont and Republic Road. Give us a call there at the office if you'd like to register, 882-6767. That's 882-6767, or you can go online to springfieldmfi.com. On the homepage there, there's a poster for Coffee with WK. Just click that, and you can register right online.
And you can also go online to Springfield MFI and just find out who we are at Springfield MFI, Marriage and Family Institute. We have a great, very interactive website. Ken has designed this, and we've all contributed to it. But it's fantastic. You get a real feel for what we are, what we're about, the principles that we uphold, the type of counseling that we're very interested in doing with individuals, couples, and families. So go to the website. Check us out.
You know, one of the most common comments people make as they leave MFI for the first time is, this isn't what I expected. This feels good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we want. Counseling, this isn't a stereotypical thing that people kind of think about. This is empowered living. And that goes all the way back to the Coffee with WK at Churchill's, the Creation Matrix. This is absolutely powerful to be able to lay this over and clarify life. It's empowered living. This is the secret of empowered living. And the people and individuals that get this make leaps and bounds in their life. So we're getting into the meat and potatoes of the study, the Creation Matrix. So please join us there. But Springfield MFI as a whole does this for individuals, couples, and families all throughout the Southwest here. And it is just amazing when you make a difference in someone's life and they go out and tell their friends, they go out and tell their family, you know, you got to go see WK. You got to go see Marty. You got to go see Leslie. And now we have Christina on board.
Yes.
So these are people that have a heart for helping and an ability to understand and the knowledge to be able to explain how things are going and what to do. So many times we have friends and family that every time we turn around, you'd think it was a soap opera, but it's not. It's our friends. It's our family.
Mm-hmm.
And we really would love to help, but a lot of times we don't know how. Well, the best way to do that is to refer them on. Have them give Springfield MFI a call. Give them my web address, springfieldmfi.com, and tell them, here, I think there's some people you need to talk to. And make a difference. Actually make a difference.
Now, we've been talking lately about families. If you'd like to give us a call here at the station, our number is 862-9977 or 1-800-375-0056 for those out of the area, or star 56 on your cell phone. But join us in the conversation here. We're glad to hear from you. Be glad to hear your comments and your opinions. As we're continuing talking about family, we've been talking about family and family systems the past several weeks, and knowing that our behavior is always in the context of family. We just can't get out of family. That's where the context of our life is. And whatever we do in our individual life affects us in our relationships, all of our relationships. And so if we do those things that are right and good and effective and functional and healthy, then those behaviors affect all the relationships in our life. If we do those things that are dysfunctional, those things that are hurtful, harmful, those things that are alienating, those things that drive people away, then it affects all the relationships in our life as well. But all these behaviors are in the context of family. In the context of family, whether we are single or we're married or we're widowed or divorced, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. All of our behaviors in the context of family, of a family that we grew up in, or the family we have now, or this is really awesome, our family, in the family we grew up in, the family we have now, and those families of our children and grandchildren, or even great-grandchildren. What we do affects all those generations, for the good or for the bad, for that which is effective or that which is ineffective in life. And so we need to be very cautious and discerning about what it is that we're doing with our life, because we're not an island that we live unto ourselves. We affect a lot of other people for generations to come. And so we need to be aware of that.
I got into an interesting conversation with someone earlier this week talking about how much we don't know what we don't know. Dan's back there laughing. Trying to figure out how much we don't know what we don't know. If you've grown up in a family that has been, for the most part, dysfunctional, but you've never seen anything different, how do you know that? You just assume that this is the way it is, it's the way it is with everyone else. We don't know what we don't know. And so many times, I was talking with someone this week, and they said, you know, I don't know if we need counseling or not. I don't know if I need to go see counseling. It's just a feeling I have. Something's not quite right. But they couldn't tell me what it was. You know, the way they grew up, the family they grew up in, the fact that they were in a family now and trying to figure out how to raise kids, not sure quite what we need to do. There was just a lack of knowledge. There was a desire to raise the children, a desire to do the right thing, but there are also questions as to what that person had been taught. And so sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And that same mentality allows things to be passed on from one generation to the next. And until someone steps up and says, you know, something's not right. I don't know what it is, but we need to bring in a third party. Let's bring in someone who understands and find out what's going on. So we were talking about that and talking about some of the results that we'd gotten at Springfield Marriage and Family. It just blew them away. They thought, you know, that sounds awesome. So we'll see how that goes. But sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And it takes someone who's an outside source, someone who understands family systems, who understands what's going on, to be able to make suggestions and take a third look with a clean set of eyes. So if your family life, for the most part, seems pretty good, but there's something just gnawing at you, you just want answers. Sometimes it helps just to talk to someone. Give us a call there at the office, 882-6767. The one thing we said so many times on the show is the one thing we don't have to waste is the one thing we waste the most of. And that's time.
That's right.
We assume that we'll always have tomorrow, or that tomorrow will be better, and we keep doing the same thing over and over, expecting things to change. We had a couple come in that had been arguing just at each other for the last 10 years, nearly ready to throw away the marriage, because this is not the way to live. And they came to Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Now they're wondering how they ever got to that point. Is making such a difference in their life. Time is something we can't get back. We can do a lot of things with money, and money comes and goes, but once the time is gone, it's gone. let's not waste our family's life. Let's not waste our life and an enjoyment of our family and those that are the most in our life.
Hey, you know, the image that a lot of people have of family is somewhat an idealistic image. And I want everyone to know that all families have problems. All families are, in a sense, bloody in the sense that they have conflict and they have problems and they have issues that come up. And it's not a matter of whether you have problems, conflicts, and issues. What makes the determination of how effective or how healthy your family is what do you do with those? How do you resolve those? How have you learned to handle conflict? How have you learned to approach conflict? Most people have learned to avoid conflict, thinking that if they can avoid conflict long enough, that it'll go away. And while it does, that the more you avoid conflict, the more conflict builds up. And many times, if you've come out of a family that everyone has avoided conflict and hasn't really been open and being able to share, you've grown up feeling like there's an elephant in the living room. And everyone walks around the elephant, walks around the poo piles, and runs into this thing every once in a while. But no one says anything. But you still got this huge elephant in the living room. And so what do you do with that? How do you get the elephant out of the living room? You don't want him living in your house anymore. You don't want him in your family. You don't want him to be a family member, but you've got to get him out. And how do you do that? And many people, as Ken said, we don't know what we don't know. And there's a lot of what we don't know. And we don't know so much, many times, we don't even know how to ask for the help that we need. How to ask to get the elephant out of the house, out of our family, out of our marriage, out of our parenting. How do we get this sucker out of here? And so that's what we do. That's what we focus on, is how do we make our marriages, our families, our individual lives more effective, more harmonious, and really have the life that we really have always wanted, a life full of joy and peace, of unity, a life full of fulfillment, energy, and goals with a great sense of direction. That's how we're to live our life. That's how we're to live our life. Let me ask some fundamental questions this morning as we talk about families and family systems and talk about getting this life. And that is, who's more important? If you're married this morning, who's more important in your life? Your parents or your kids or your spouse? If you're married today, who's more important in your life? Who do you have the most loyalty to? Your parents, your kids, or your spouse?
Is this a who is the priority or who should be?
No, I'm asking who is. If it's anybody but spouse, who should be the one that we have our greatest loyalty to, then our lives are going to be out of kilter. They're going to be out of balance. If our loyalty is to our parents, even though we're married, our spouse feels that. Our spouse feels the pull of that energy out of the marriage. If our loyalty is more to our kids, our spouse will feel that as well. They will feel that pull of energy and emotion away from them to that child or to those kids. And our kids will feel that too, and they don't like that. Because kids are never intended to be pulled into that marriage relationship. Parents were never intended to be pulled into a marriage relationship. There's only room for two in the marriage. And the marriage is the core relationship in any family. The effectiveness of the marriage of those two individuals, that man and woman, the effectiveness of that marriage determines the success of the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren. How effectively this man and woman can learn to live together, learn to love one another, learn to be flexible, to compromise, to stand for principle, as effectively as they can love each other throughout their whole lifetime, has a great bearing on the effectiveness in the lives of their children and grandchildren. And it also has an effect on the grandparents, on the grandparents. You know, there's a principle that's given to us in Scripture that says, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife. Now, Moses wrote that in the Torah, in Genesis. In fact, he wrote the first five books of what we call the Old Testament. Jesus repeated that in Matthew 19 and Mark chapter 10, where we find a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves to his wife. And they're no longer two, but one flesh. And then Jesus said, what therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. But the reason a man has to leave his father and mother, and the force of the word there is abandon. He has to abandon them. He has to shoulder the mantle of authority in his own life and step forward into his adult life and to commit to that woman. And the woman has to do the same thing to commit to her husband. Now, it doesn't mean that you stop loving your parents or your family that you grew up in. It means that you've left them to start your own life. And you have the authority to live your own life. You have the authority to be your own person. For a lot of people, that's very difficult for them to do because they've never been allowed to have their own will or to grow as their own person. As we talked about last week, as far as becoming an individual, that individuation process, and then the differentiation process to set themselves apart from their family as an adult, as an extended part of that family, to develop their own life, their own family. Having their own spouse with their kids. Developing their own home with their own traditions. And both of these people coming in and contributing to the identity and the traditions of their new family. Okay? They have to have that. And what concerns me, and Ken, you were showing me some articles about some things that you've been looking at, how parents are functioning today and how people are even refusing to marry. They want to have children together, but they don't want to marry, which is a foolish mistake. If you're not going to get married, don't bring children into the world. That's as simple as that. Because a child's life is affected by the strength of that commitment in marriage, regardless of how committed you are to one another outside of marriage. Because you ain't married till you are. Old phrase, you ain't married till you are. And let me tell you something, there's a real distinction between those who are married and those who are not.
I've heard you say that phrase several times. I came across a quote this morning. Young son asked his dad, he goes, "Is it true, Dad? I heard that in some parts of Africa, a man doesn't know his wife until he marries her."
Hmm.
Son, that's true in every country.
Now, there's a lot of truth in that. There's a lot of truth in that.
And I know that goes both ways.
It goes both ways. It does. It goes both ways. A woman really doesn't know her husband until she marries him. Because you're not married until you are. And because it's a legal responsibility, it's a legal definition of two becoming one. The recognition legally, morally, ethically, spiritually, physically, in every way that this man and woman are be recognized as one person, as a oneness. And it doesn't mean that they've stopped being themselves and they have to always give in to one another. But it means that they are learning how to live together and to use their strengths individually to have the strength of the one in the marriage. And that strength of one, that strength of oneness in marriage is the security of children. That's my whole point when I say don't bring children in the world if you're not going to get married. I don't care how committed you say you are to one another. There is no commitment to another person. If I'm free to walk away from you anytime I choose if the going gets tough. Or if I decide I don't want this parenting thing anymore, I'm just going to walk away. What's to stop you if you're not married? Because sometimes the only thing that keeps people married are the vows that they've made and the commitments they've made in the presence of company before God. Because everything else is going crazy. We need marriage. We need strong, effective marriages. We need strong, effective marriages producing competent, capable, effective parents who are committed to their children, who'd say to their children, "You are stable, you're safe, and you're secure because we've made a commitment, a marital commitment to one another. And it's out of the strength of the marriage that we can allow you to become an individual. We can allow you to differentiate from us, to have your own thoughts and feelings and needs, that we can share ourselves with you and teach you how to become an adult. And we can model for you how that works. Because we've accepted the authority for our life and we've shouldered that mantle of authority and accountability to authority. And we're living within boundaries, fulfilling responsibilities that the boundaries provide the structure for. And that determines the kind of relationship we have with each other and with you." Now, that's how it works. That's how it works, regardless of how society today wants to phrase it, how they want to see it, how they want to present it. You're not married. And you're not going to be capable, competent, effective parents until you get married.
I read an article a couple weeks ago by Clifford R. Adams, or at least part of a speech that he gave, and the opening argument was meant to shock people, talking about back in 1940, 1 in 6 marriages failed. And by 1947, if the trend continued, it'd be 1 in 4. And in 50 years, if the trend continued, it'd be 1 in 2. And his prediction was accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That's the most shocking thing about it. So what is it that has caused us to reach this 1 in 2 prediction? That 1 in 2 marriages fail. Is it a lack of understanding of what marriage is? Is it just reducing marriage to nothing more than a legal document? How did we get to this point? And what do we need to do to reverse this? Because this is appalling.
I agree.
We have individuals, their lives are totally messed up because something their parents and grandparents did, thinking it was just only affecting them. So how do we reverse this, and what do we need to know to get married? We've talked about here lately a lot of premarital, and then this year, starting to hear the word pre-premarital counseling.
Yeah, more so all the time.
Which is a new one. But basic relationship, understanding how things are going. So what is it we need to do to reverse this? We know the effects are there. You and I have discussed it on the air numerous times. What's the secret? What is it that we've lost that has led it to 1 in 2 marriages ending in divorce?
I think that it's a combination of things. It's not a simple answer, but I think it's a combination of things. One is that marriage itself has been devalued in our society, in our culture. I hear many times couples will even tell me, we don't want to impose a piece of paper on our relationship. We don't want to impose a legal document on our relationship. And it's devalued. Just the status of marriage itself has been devalued in our society. The modeling that has been in the lives of people over the past 50 years has been many times been very hurtful. Because people are married doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to be effective or that they can be authoritative rather than authoritarian. What it does show us is that there are people who come out of hurtful families, harmful families, abusive families, dysfunctional families, and they grow up, they don't want to have anything to do with marriage if that's what comes into marriage, if that's what marriage is about.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes back again to what your statement was, is that people don't know what they don't know. And if they grow up in an abusive family, an abusive home, then they believe that's what marriage is about. If they see mom and dad addicted to drugs and alcohol and sex, pornography, and always fighting and beating each other, yelling at the kids, beating the kids, why would they want that?
Yeah, who wants that life?
Why would they want that? But marriage is not intended for that. We're intended to live our lives productively, effectively, with great harmony and unity, and the greatest possible unity.
We're getting ready to take the bottom half of the hour break. Stick around. Let's talk about what true marriage should be. We'll be back.
Hi, this is WK Boyce. Join me each Monday morning at 10 a.m., where we discuss the issues of life, love, family, marriage, even politics. It's the life you've always wanted. Brought to you by Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. Professional counseling founded on Christian principles for real-life solutions. Check us out at springfieldmfi.com or call us at 882-6767 to speak to someone today. It's your life, your choice. Make it a great one.
And you're listening to The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute and your hosts, WK and Ken Boyce, with the second half of the show.
And we're back. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning again.
And good morning, everyone out there.
Here.
A couple things I want to bring to everyone's attention. This Thursday night, Coffee with WK at Church Hills on East Republic Road between 7 and 9 p.m. We're talking about the creation matrix and empowered living. And this is one of the secrets that you can lay over your marriage, you can lay over your family. You grasp this concept, everything else in your life will improve. I guarantee it. If you apply it. And this is a very simple application, but it is something you have to be able to learn. Join us for Coffee with WK. I had one of my colleagues in business joined us this Thursday. He goes, you know, I wasn't real sure what to expect when I got here. But he goes, I really had to think. Wow. I actually had to put some thought into it. And I watched his body language, and you could see processing what was going on. And it's just the beginning. So we had an overview of the matrix this last Thursday. This week, we get into the meat and potatoes of it. And from the questions we had last Thursday, they're going to be chomping down to the bone.
I agree. They will, yes.
But this is empowering. This is good stuff. So join us at Church Hills this Thursday from 7 to 9, 1604 East Republic Road. Give us a call, 882-6767 to register, or you can register online at springfieldmfi.com. Also, the other thing that a lot of people have been waiting for is the seminar God's Gift of Sex.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming up. We made final arrangements on it, and more details are to follow. We talked about so many things in our marriage as being dysfunctional, and one thing that was never discussed, never learned, never taught was sex. It's not discussed in our families. It's not discussed in church. You kind of have to discover it on your own. And a lot of things people are taught aren't correct.
Yeah, there's a lot of misinformation and bad information out there about sexuality. And this seminar is great because we talk very openly, very authentically, very explicitly about our sexuality and how God has given us a gift about our sexuality. We're basically reclaiming our sexuality and sexuality in general based upon His truth about what sexuality really is.
So get ready. You're going to hear more about it as we get closer. But we have finalized that, and that's exciting. That's probably one of the most, next to the Creation Matrix, the God's Gift of Sex is probably the most requested program that we do. So join us for that. Keep your ears out. Look on the website for more information as it comes. SpringfieldMFI.com. We'll have registration there very shortly. This is the life you've always wanted. This morning we talked a little bit about the causes and effects that happen in marriage. And one of the things we left the bottom half of the show with was, why do we have so many marriages failing? If we have one in two marriages failing, and why do we have so many that refuse to get married? And WK was hinting at part of this is that we don't have the proper definition of what marriage should be, and we definitely did not get a proper example of what marriage should be. Looking at our families, looking at our friends' families, you look at all the dysfunction there, you're going, I don't want that. And you're right. That's a pretty good reason not to get married. If you're expecting that's what it'll be, don't get married. If you grew up in that way and that's the only way you know how to live as a family, don't get married.
Learn some things first.
Marriage is a good thing.
And having kids is a good thing.
Absolutely. Oh, that's one of the best. And we're going to discuss part of that here as we go into this next half of the hour. Join us and kind of discuss what marriage should be. What should we know? And how can we make a difference in the future? How do we make a difference for our kids, for our grandkids? How do we correct the mistakes that have been made coming up to our point in our life?
And the point is, regardless of how our families have done it up to this point, we can always learn how to do it better, how to do it differently, how to do it more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
All of us can. And that's what we really want to emphasize. That's the emphasis this morning, regardless of how we learned how to do it.
The most successful people in the world are the ones that never stop learning.
Yeah, I agree.
Learning more in depth, more knowledge, become more successful in every aspect of their life.
Yeah. How should we see marriage, and how should we view children who come into our marriage?
We have Gloria in Springfield. Good morning, Gloria.
Well, I thought you forgot about me.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Okay, I can tell you a lot of things. First of all, I disagree with you on some things, you know.
Yeah, well, that's okay.
And abusive, and I mean, I wasn't abused, you know, by my dad. He was a good man, but not a loving man. That means he was a good father. I couldn't go out till I was 16.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, he was a good man. He worked hard. I learned how to work hard. As a matter of fact, I see my granddaughters, and if I had a field in a corn, and they got an argument, go out there and hold three rows of corn.
That's good, yeah.
I know. He was a good man, but not a loving man. He's a good father. You know what? When he argued with my mom, we stood in between him because he gets so angry, and we were afraid he might hit her. He never hit her.
Mm-hmm.
But we stood in between. That's abuse.
Yes.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you this. I was one of 12. Now I'm only one of five.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can rise above that because it can teach you the other lesson. You know what you don't want your marriage to be.
That's exactly right.
And that's part of the points we made, is that it doesn't necessarily matter how we grew up. We can do it better.
That's right. And the other thing is, the man I was married to, my husband, he always said I wouldn't have the success, but I didn't have Gloria. That's what he said.
Hmm.
Thanks a lot, Gloria.
Yeah, you know, the things about marriage, and as Gloria's referring, it's we learn a lot about ourselves when we grow up and as we get married. We think we know a lot, and we think that we know the person that we're marrying, but we learn a lot after we get married, and we have to learn how to live in marriage and how to be ourselves in that marriage and how to contribute to that marriage, because marriage is the most important relationship that we enter into. You know, we're nowhere commanded to get married. Just like we're not commanded to be single. But if we choose to get married, we need to choose wisely. And we need to choose a person with whom we can really live effectively and grow together in. The old saying is that a man marries a woman expecting she won't change, and a woman marries a man expecting that she will change him. But the fact of the matter is that both change as they come into the marriage, as they get into the marriage to learn how to relate to one another, because they're no longer living simply for themselves. Every decision affects two, at least two. As the family begins, it affects more than two. So we need to be very conscientious, very intentional, as we get married, and know that there's going to be a lot required of us. But there's going to be a lot that we are rewarded with in that relationship. Of all of our relationships that we have in our life, there's no other relationship like marriage. There's none. I mean, we can have friendships and best friends and acquaintances at work. We can have an extended family, but there's no relationship exactly like marriage.
What are the stages of marriage?
Well, in a very simple statement is that there's illusion, disillusionment, and reality.
Okay, say that again.
There's illusion, disillusionment, and reality.
And the short difference?
And the illusion part is how we want to see this marriage as we go into it. What we believe we see in the person that we're marrying. And the disillusionment stage comes about 3 to 5 years into marriage. When this person isn't living according to the way that we have always thought that they would. Now that we are married, they begin to act somewhat differently, and the expectations change, and the realities change. How we thought they would respond in some situations, they respond entirely opposite. And so we get a feeling, who is this person that I thought I knew?
So reality starts to set in.
That's when the reality stage sets in. So we go through illusion, disillusionment, and reality. And we need to work through this because it lasts through about the first 7 years of marriage. And no matter we marry young, marry old, it doesn't matter. We need to have as real a perspective of marriage as we can. And that's the reason why I encourage all couples to not get married until they've gone together, dated, and known each other for at least a year to 18 months. Then decide if you want to get married.
And then come see Springfield Marriage and Family Institute for premarital.
Yes, because you will, in premarital, you will confront issues that you're going to confront anyway. And it's better to do that while you still feel like you could just eat each other up than it is whether you just beat each other up.
And wish you had.
Yeah. And so when the moods are positive and good and you want the best for your marriage, that's the best time to have premarital counseling. But, you know, marriage is the strongest relationship that we have in life.
Most influential.
Most influential on this earth. Okay, now, I know people are going to say, but what about a relationship with the Lord? Yeah, a relationship with the Lord is important, and there's no relationship that supersedes that one. But I don't think it's any coincidence that in sacred scripture that the Apostle Paul compared the marriage relationship like our relationship with Christ, or that Christ has with us as the church. I mean, that's how strong it is. That's how important it is. And there's a spiritual nature to that as well, a spiritual oneness that we need to have in that. You know, if we decide to have children in our marriage, we need to make sure that we want to have kids. And we need to make sure that what we're doing is that we're having children because we want to have them. I know that accidents happen, but as intentional as we can be, we need to be intentional in spacing out our children. If we're going to have more than one, the optimum age span is 3 years between children. That's optimum. That's what, as marriage and family counselors, and studies that we look at and that we read, continuing studies show that children spaced out about every 3 years is optimum. But as we have these children, I want us to know and hear this here at the very end of the program that our children experience our family differently. Every child experiences the same family in a different way. The firstborn, secondborn, thirdborn, fourthborn, all of our children experience us and family relationships from their perspective, not from ours. So the firstborn experiences the family differently. The middle child experiences the family differently. And with each successive child. Okay? But to have a child coming together in your marriage to continue genetically, your genealogy, to continue your family, to continue your love and your faith together is an expression within a child. Okay? But every child is different. The firstborn in our family, many times, are the ones who are the achievers. They are the ones that usually have the highest expectations of them. The middle child, second born, many times the middle child, is kind of the lost child. You know, all the pictures I'm taking of the firstborn, and by the time you get to second born, well, we don't have quite as many pictures of them. And then we have a third born. The third born, three children is about the size of families today. they're usually kind of the mascot. They're the cutesy one. You know, they're the ones that have everybody laughing and smiling all the time. They see our families differently, and they're responding to our family systems needs differently in their birth order. But we need to have intentionality in having kids. Let me read some things here. It says, "Dear firstborn, we've always loved you best because you were our first miracle. You were the genesis of a marriage and the fulfillment of our young love. You sustained us through the hamburger years, the first apartment furnished in early poverty, our first mode of transportation, which was our feet, and the 13-inch TV we paid for about 36 months. You were new and had unused grandparents and had enough clothes for a set of triplets. You were the original model for a mom and dad who were trying to work the bugs out. You got the strained lamb, the open safety pins, and the 3-hour naps. You were the beginning." And then they said, "Dear middle child, we've always loved you best because you drew a hard spot in the family and made you stronger for it. You cried less, had more patience, wore faded hand-me-downs, and never in your life did anything first. But it only made you more special. You were the one we relaxed with and realized a dog could kiss you and you wouldn't get sick. You could cross the street long before you were old enough to get married. And you helped us understand the world wouldn't collapse if you went to bed with dirty feet. You were the child of our busy, ambitious years. Without you, we never could have survived the job changes and the tedium and the routine that is marriage." And then a letter to the youngest child. "We've always loved you best because while endings are generally sad, you're such a joy. You readily accepted the milk-stained bibs, the beat-up crib, the ragged baby dolls, and the baby book that had nothing written in it except a recipe that someone had jammed between the pages. You're the only one we held on to so tightly. You're the link with our past, a reason for our tomorrow. You quicken our steps, square our shoulders, restore our vision, and give us a sense of humor that security, maturity, and durability can't provide. When your hair turns silver and your children are all grown up, remember, you'll still be our baby." Parenting. Having a solid marriage in which to bring children into this world. Wanting children to come into this family. And understanding that each child is unique. That we love each child the best for different reasons. And that we want them to be the best for who they are. As I said this morning, the marriage is the core relationship in the family. And it is the security, the stability, and the safety of the child. This is The Life You've Always Wanted, brought to you by the Springfield Marriage and Family Institute. We appreciate you listening to us this morning. Give us a call at 882-6767. If we can help you, if you need advice, or if you need counseling, give us a call. It's your life.
Your choice.
Make it a great one.